From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on Christ's own instructions to His disciples on prayer as embodied in the Lord's Prayer. In this message, Dr. Cairns is addressing the petition which says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." What are we asking when we pray that petition? Dr. Cairns has spent the bulk of this message defining the terms in the text. We understand that debts refer to wrongs done to us by others. Then Dr. Cairns has sought to explain what it means to forgive others, something which Christians are obligated to do. As he will demonstrate, the secret to our forgiveness lies in the little word, as. If we would be truly obedient to God's word, we must forgive others in the same manner as God forgives us. This is high spiritual ground, but it is what the Lord expects of His people. Dr. Cairns will continue the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, True Humility Rewarded. The text is Luke chapter 18, verse 14. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It ought not to be difficult for us to humble ourselves, for what have we to be proud of? We ought to take the lowest place without being told to do so. If we are sensible and honest, we shall be little in our own eyes. Especially before the Lord in prayer, we shall shrink to nothing. There we cannot speak of merit, for we have none. Our one and only appeal must be to mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is a cheering word from the throne. We shall be exalted by the Lord if we humble ourselves. For us, the way upward is downhill. When we are stripped of self, we are clothed with humility, and this is the best of wear. The Lord will exalt us in peace and happiness of mind. He will exalt us into knowledge of His word and fellowship with Himself. He will exalt us in the enjoyment of sure pardon and justification. The Lord puts His honors upon those who can wear them to the honor of the giver. He gives usefulness, acceptance, and influence to those who will not be puffed up by them, but will be abased by a sense of greater responsibility. Neither God nor man will care to lift up a man who lifts up himself, but both God and good men unite to honor modest worth. O Lord, sink me in self, that I may rise in Thee. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is available in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
personal pardon does not necessarily preclude judicial action. Let me give you an example or two. David refused to execute personal vengeance on Shimei, who cursed him, if you remember, when he was fleeing from Absalom. But nevertheless, he delivered him to Solomon's judgment for his crimes. Paul shows that legal steps are sometimes necessary in 1 Timothy 1:20. He speaks of some who having put away a good conscience concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Now that was a judicial action. That is one of the most serious actions that any church court could ever take. I have delivered them to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. It was not a fit of anger on Paul's part. It was not an expression of bitterness. But even where he had a forgiving spirit, there was a need for judicial action. The Apostle John, the great Apostle of love, retained judgment against Diotrephes. 3 John verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. You see, forgiveness is not simply overlooking the obstinacy of an unrepentant person. Forgiveness in this case certainly means there will be no bitterness, no personal vengeance, no personal spitefulness, no personal vendetta. But where the honor of God and the word of God demand that there be judgment, I will bring that judgment. I remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, casting them out of the church. So we forgive. But now we pray, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Now, the word as here is a very big word. Two letters. But my, it's a big word. I have always been fascinated to read the Conan Doyle stories of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes, the world's greatest ever detective. He always just happened to know everything at the right time. It's easy to be a detective when you can read people's minds, know everything that may be known. But anyway, Sherlock Holmes always took the position that a proposed solution to a problem must account for all the evidence. And when you've got to that stage, when you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, is the solution. That's good advice when you come to interpret some difficult parts of Scripture. Account for all the evidence and eliminate the impossible. In this case, we account for all the evidence. We've got to take this text in the light of the whole Word of God. It's what we call the analogy of faith. Romans 12:6, let us prophesy according to the proportion or the analogy of the faith. Now that's a theological interpretation of Scripture. There are many so-called Bible interpreters who refuse it because it starts off from a presupposition. I'm getting off my subject, but I'm getting onto something I enjoy. I like the idea of presupposition. When I come to this Bible, I come with the presupposition. It is the inspired, infallible Word of God. It does not say one thing in one place and contradict it in another. That's a theological presupposition. There is a line of truth going through it. on every subject it deals with. That truth may be developed, but it can never at any stage of its development contradict any other stage of its development. That's a theological presupposition. When you come to the analogy of the faith, you take any particularly difficult text and you look at it and understand it in such a way that when you look at its words and interpret them, they are in keeping with what the Bible generally teaches on that subject. Keep that in mind. And then remove all the impossible interpretations in the light of it. There have been some strange interpretations of this. An ancient writer, Gregory of Nyssa, he said in this text, Jesus wants your disposition. Listen to this. Jesus wants your disposition to be a good example to God. We invite God to imitate us. And the modern writer has said that that is a bold statement. I would say it's an absolutely crazy statement. Not bold. To use an Irish word, it's blarney. Or an American word, baloney. Just think of it for a minute. We're coming to God and we're saying, Lord, I want you to imitate me. Where on earth does the Bible ever say that? Oh, it does say we're to imitate God, but where does it ever say that God is to imitate us? There's no help for us. You couldn't even say, God help us. There is no help for us even in God if God were to imitate us. We'd all be in trouble. Others will come and say, God will forgive us because we forgive others. Very necessary here to get back to the basic rules of interpretation. If you see this text in the light of the whole of Scripture, you see these things are impossible. It can't mean forgive us because we forgive others, for that would make our forgiving the ground of God's forgiveness to us. That's works righteousness. That's human merit. Our forgiving is not the pattern for God to follow. And nor does Jesus mean even that God's pardon should only go as far as our pardon. Again, there'd be no help for us. The word as here is the idea of similarity. And what we're praying, Lord, the existence of a willingness to forgive in the fallen, depraved nature of man argues an infinitely greater willingness in the perfect nature of our Father. Take a parallel situation. Jesus taught us to pray in Luke 11:13, and Matthew quotes this in chapter 7 in slightly different words, but he said in Luke 11 verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? That's the idea of this. Lord, if there's any willingness in me to forgive another, and I am a poor, weak, wretched, wicked, sinful man, can I not come with confidence to the perfect God of heaven, knowing that there is infinitely greater willingness in God to forgive? That's the force of the ask. Then again, we're praying, since this disposition to forgive is not natural to the depraved nature of man, it's an evidence of grace already begun. The mercy of God produces in us a spirit of mercy toward others. Titus chapter 3 verses 1 to 7 would make that clear. I leave it to you to study it through, for time forbids I go there this morning. So this petition is a cry to God to continue what he's already begun. Therefore, this is a very important step, an implacable spirit, a bitter spirit, an unforgiving spirit argues either that there is no grace of God in our hearts or that we have backslidden to such an extent that we have lost the enjoyment of God's grace. And this is why the Lord Jesus makes receiving pardon conditional on giving pardon. In verses 14 and 15, he spells it out. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's a condition. If you're going to be forgiven, you'd better be forgiving. And this is why he does it. You see, to refuse to forgive another to the extent that it's in your realm of responsibility to do so, to refuse to forgive another is to reject God's grace and Christ's merit. It's to deny the atonement of Christ for our brethren. Understand that. Did Jesus die for those sins? Would he have them forgiven? If we refuse to forgive, we're refusing his atonement to our brethren. But worse still, from our personal point, refusing Christ's atonement to ourselves. Refusal to forgive sin in others is sin in us. And while we hold on to that sin, we cannot be forgiven. We come to God and say, Lord, forgive us our sins. But while we ourselves are holding on to an unforgiving spirit, we're holding on to at least one sin. How can you pray, forgive me my sin, when I'm not even willing to let go myself of this sin? That's why Jesus says, if you don't forgive, you'll not be forgiven. Praying this text with an unforgiving spirit is tantamount to praying, do not forgive me my sins. Understand it. For we ask God to treat us in a similar way to how we treat others. Now, this is the meaning of the text. I will get to the message in the future, but not today. I haven't got to the message yet. We've simply got to try and understand the terms of the text, the meaning of the text. When you pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, you're saying, Father, I have received thy grace. I have received the merits of Jesus Christ's atonement. I accept those merits for my own sins and for the sins of those who offend me. As one who stands in constant need of God's forgiveness, I give forgiveness to my debtors. Let no bitter spirit, let no vengeful spirit, let no spiteful attitude hinder my reception of thy free pardon and perfect cleansing. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepress.org. That's faithfpc@freepress.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepress.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.